Before we start, this episode of Gayish features frank discussion about food that may be triggering to individuals with eating disorders. If that is something you'd prefer not to hear, or if there's any possibility that will be a trigger for you in any way, we suggest you please skip this week's show. If you think you have an eating disorder, or if you think someone else has an eating disorder, you can call the ANAD helpline toll-free at 1-888-375-7767. And now, enjoy Gayish.
When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that's getting laid and getting off. So you could say it's getting laid off.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
Today, I got laid off.
Kyle had his last day today.
Yeah, so...
I'm glad you said something, because I was going to share for you, and that was probably...
You were going to? You're not allowed to do that, Mike.
I know.
I'm mad at you for something you didn't do. That's like when you like have a dream that someone does something and you get mad at them in real life.
Yep.
Yeah. Be real nice to me on this episode today. Leave me nice comments on social media and tell me all the reasons you like me, because I need it.
Yeah. Virtual hugs.
Yes, please. Please and thank you.
Well, also today, we're going to talk about mukbang or mukbang.
Mukbang. Oh, I didn't know the pronunciation. Mukbang.
Yeah. Mukbang.
Bong.
Yep. But first. Here's the news.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News. News. News.
News the first. Kyle got laid off. No, I'm kidding.
News flash, everyone.
News the first. So Nick Offerman won an award for his LGBTQ plus role in HBO's The Last of Us, which I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not. Did we?
I don't remember that either. I remember him doing that and everyone loving the episode.
Yeah. Well, he won the award for best supporting performance in a new scripted series at Sunday's Film Independent Spirit Awards. And he took a moment to talk about some of the feedback he's received for doing that gay ass role.
Oh, interesting.
So in his speech, he thanked HBO for, quote, having the guts to participate in this storytelling tradition that is truly independent. And he said, stories that when homophobic hate comes my way and says, why did you have to make it a gay story? We say, because you ask questions like that. It's not a gay story. It's a love story, you asshole.
Yeah, that's such the perfect response.
And he said that during his acceptance speech, the audience cheered and applauded. And he then said that he hopes to see more of that representation. Then he thanked the showrunners, his family, and then, quote, my bride, my puzzle coach, and legal property, Megan Mullally. if you didn't see the episode, everybody, it was the episode of the video game inspired show, The Last of Us. And there was a love story between Offerman's character, Bill, who's a doomsday survivalist, and a dude named Frank, played by Murray Bartlett, who sort of stumbles on his little settlement there. And they fall in love.
Did you see it?
I watched it. Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah, was it? Okay.
Yeah. And that episode, actually, you know, you don't need to know much to watch the episode in question and understand it. All you need to know is that this is like a post-apocalyptic world, and the episode provides you all the context that you need, really. So if you wanted to like not watch the whole thing because you're not into video games or zombies, great. You could just watch that episode and get a lot out of it.
Man, zombie love story.
Well, neither of them are zombies. They're hiding from the zombies.
Oh man, I'm less interested.
Well, I don't know.
Because gay zombie love story is the most compelling thing I've heard all year.
Well, let's write that.
Okay.
You've got time to write, Kyle.
I do have a little bit more time nowadays.
Oh God. Okay. News the second. I've realized after I picked this story, I'm not sure how much what I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay. You're making me nervous already.
Well, because it might need a trigger warning, but the episode might already need a trigger warning because of eating stuff and food disorders. So,
I didn't even think about that.
Anyway, news the second is that a gay man in Florida was convicted by a federal jury last week of threatening to kill former U.S. Representative George Santos. And he did that by leaving a voicemail filled with the most homophobic shit you've ever heard.
Why are you laughing?
Because he's gay. Frank Stazioni, 53, of Boynton Beach, was convicted of transmitting a threat to kidnap or injure another person in a voicemail he left at the Washington, D.C. office of then-Congressman George Santos on January 29th, 2023, the Department of Justice announced in a statement. Here's what he said. We could decide how much of this to include or cut or not.
Okay. Oh, God.
In the voicemail, Stazioni said, quote, George Santos, you fat fucking piece of shit faggot. You better watch your motherfucking back because I'm going to bash your motherfucking faggot head in with a bat until your brains are splattered across the fucking wall. You lying, disgusting, disgraceful motherfucking faggot. You motherfucking piece of shit. You're going to get fucking murdered. You goddamn lying piece of garbage. Watch your back, you fat, ugly piece of shit. You and your husband are dead.
Okay, look.
Look,
it's a little repetitive. If I'm giving notes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd say we get the point about watching your back and bashing your head in. Like
you seem angry.
You seem angry. You maybe have other things going on in your life but really the repetitiveness of the message is what I want to harp on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's horrifying.
Yep. Santos's staff reported the message to the Capitol Police the following morning. They quickly found his cell number, quickly went to his home the next day, January the 31st. And he did not deny making the call, but instead told officers that he left that message, quote, to let him know what a piece of shit he is.
Okay, he is consistent, though.
Oh, God. As part of his defense strategy, which, spoiler alert, did not work, he was convicted.
Right.
Was that he was just exercising his First Amendment rights.
Okay. The First Amendment is not a blanket you can cover yourself in that lets you, like, shield yourself from everything.
He should have said he was claiming his freedom of religion, that he was just exercising his religious beliefs. Sorry, I keep knocking shit over. I know. Yeah, because that gets, you can do whatever you want to and say that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can... As long as God said you wanted you to say it, then you're fine.
Oh, my God. Well, so his trial was 2 days. He was convicted. He's due back in court for sentencing on May the 2nd. So This is another example in our series of being gay doesn't make you a good person.
Wait, and what? The guy who did this was gay?
Yes.
Oh,
that was a member of our community, such as it is, threatening another member of our community, such as he is, in voicemail form.
I thought you were saying Santos was gay. I didn't realize the guy making the call was gay.
Everyone's gay, Kyle.
Everyone's gay in this story. Wow. What self-hatred you have. Or yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if only he missed the internalized homophobia episode by just like yeah, 2 weeks.
But. That would have solved everything had he known.
Oh, God. Well,
No.
Yeah. Anyway, don't be bad, gay people, or do. I don't care.
But yeah, I'm not your mom.
I'm not your mom. Yeah. News the last.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to just talk about, right?
No.
The gayest story this week.
No, I don't know what the gayest story is this week.
For the very first time, researchers have taken photographs of humpback whales having sex, and they're both dudes.
Yeah! Humpback. Of course we get the humpback whales, the ones with the most innuendo-y name.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, it turns out that it's just humpback whales, but like lots and lots of other whales we've caught having sex before. This is just the first time we've seen humpback whales in particular having sex, regardless of gender or sex. Sorry, not gender. Sex, regardless of sex. This is the first time. The encounter occurred off the coast of Hawaii in January 2022. Oh, I need to make one more clarification. Okay. This is the first time that we've observed and photographed humpback whales having sex when they're both alive.
Dead whales?
There was a similar incident reported in 1998 in which a male humpback had its penis extended as it approached the corpse of another male that had just died.
Oh, everyone's gay in this story too, even the corpse fucker.
Apparently humpback whale penises had only been seen a handful of times ever because they're usually inside a genital slit. But yeah, in Hawaii in January of 2022, the photograph was taken by Lyle Kranichfeld and Brandy Romano and published this last Tuesday in Marine Mammal Science. The researchers wrote that, quote, the whale in this most recent case was alive, but apparently injured. And the other whale was holding it in place with its pectoral fins. And the researchers wrote that, quote, possible explanations for this behavior are that whale B was mistakenly trying to mate with whale A, that it was reinforcing a social relationship with an ailing conspecific, or that it was an expression of dominance over a weak and injured competitor.
Hot.
Whether such behavior would occur between two healthy males is unknown. It is striking that the only two observations of such behavior in the literature involve ailing or deceased whales.
That is really odd, and not one that has any good implications for homosexuals in general.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I know we've seen gay sex in plenty other animals. Take the bonobos, for example.
Yeah.
We see gay sex in animals all over the place. So it's not like we have anything to prove necessarily, but still the PR team for humpback whales needs a little bit of help here.
Well, really, we just need like Sean Cody for whales. So like, so everybody can kind of like, you know, see how it works and normalize whale porn.
Yep.
The researchers did reiterate, and I will reiterate as well, that homosexuality has been commonly demonstrated in other cetaceans without either of them being injured or deceased. That includes whales, other species of whales, and dolphins.
Okay. So gays don't only fuck dead things.
Right.
Mom.
Gay whales. Yeah. That's the news.
That's the news. Speaking of our favorite... alive people who don't creatures. Fuck dead things. I'd like to thank the following new Patreon members. Thank you to Vincent Shaw. That's a name I'm pretty sure I got right. You're welcome, Vincent.
High probability of correctness on that, Kyle.
Yep.
Good
There's
work.
There's minimal ways to fuck up that name. And K.O. Hayes? K.O. Hayes? Don't know about that one. Not unclear. 50-50 chance I got that right.
I bet one of those is right.
Yeah, probably.
KO or Keo.
Yeah, sure. If you want to join Patreon, get ad-free episodes one day early, support us and the show that you're listening to right now, go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Do it.
Oh no. now we have to talk about mukbang.
You want to talk about mukbang, mukbang?
Let's talk about it. Why you were the one that did this to us.
I was the one that did this to us. I take full responsibility.
Okay.
Hey Kyle.
Oh, hey Mike.
Sometimes I use the podcast to make myself do or learn things.
Oh, wow. Wow. What a good podcast host you are.
So yeah, I've had my nipple shocked. I went to a jerk off club and I read pages of material about mukbang. In part, though, it's because a boyfriend watches a lot of it on TikTok. And like, there's clearly a generational thing that's happening because he doesn't just watch mukbang. He just watches a lot of TikTok in general. Meanwhile, I don't even have it on my phone.
Right.
But
why don't you have TikTok on your phone?
Because I did for like 3 days and I couldn't stop jerking off. So I took it off. No.
Oh, wait, really?
No, not jerking off. But I was up until like 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, just like, you know, zombie scrolling. Yeah. And I couldn't do that. Do you have TikTok?
No, I don't. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I know that if I got it, I would like become addicted to it. So I'm intentionally avoiding that. Yep. I already watch TikTok videos on like Reddit and Instagram. Yeah. So I'm infiltrated with them without even having the app on my phone.
Yep. Yep. And then there's Facebook Reels, which is basically the same thing, and yeah. Instagram Stories, which are basically the same thing. So
I don't recognize anything other than Kesha's hit single TikTok.
Yeah. Great. As God intended.
Cannot be usurped.
But yeah, I wanted to understand it more because I had this like loose idea that mukbang was like a thing that was just about the sex.
Right.
Just about the sexual gratification. And it very much is not. And now I feel better about that.
Oh, you thought it was only a sexy thing. So then you're like, wait, why are you watching this sex thing all the time?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think maybe we'll learn together through this episode what it's all about. And then we'll reflect on it at the end. How about that?
How about we do a podcast? Kyle?
Did I just restate the structure of a podcast? Okay. Way to go. I got laid off today, Mike.
I know. Oh, that's right. That's right. You know what you should do?
What's that?
You should order 14 pounds of mac and cheese.
Apparently, it is a lucrative business.
Apparently.
I'll tell you more about that when we get to me.
Or ramen. That's another popular one. Oh, anyway, okay. So, okay. Mukbang. I'm going to tell you where mukbang came from. This is the history of mukbang, which doesn't take very long because it hasn't been around for very long. Mukbang or mukbang, I think it's mukbang. And the reason I think that is because it's Korean. It's a portmanteau of the Korean words for eating and broadcast or show. So it's basically equivalent to, in English, if we were to say eatcast.
Eatcast. Oh, it's the new wave of podcasts. It's an eatcast.
It really, really is. And so it came, it really came to power in the early 2010s. And it started in Korea, got popular in Korea in the early 2010s, and really has gained popularity almost every year since then. And the thing that I find interesting about that is it got popular enough that it was in 2016 that some streaming services, including Twitch, added categories like social eating to highlight or you know, bring attention to people, these mukbangers, which mukbanger is, or mukbanger is the term for a person that does this. But
why do you think that Twitch wouldn't use the word mukbang? Like, why would they call it social eating instead of use the actual word?
Because they probably, like me, thought everybody would think that it was some like weird Asian sex thing. And
because okay.
Mukbang might as well be hentai or, you know, I don't know all of these words, so I just wouldn't investigate or wouldn't know.
Okay.
But now I think that the word is getting more popular and more commonly used and not in stigmatizing kinds of ways. So I think it might do better now. And you do see a lot of videos now labeled just straight up mukbang. This is my mukbang, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I for the record, I did not know what this word meant when you first proposed it. I think you were like, can we do this? And I was like, sure. What is that? By the way, what is that? It's at least not popular enough that I knew what it was.
And yeah, that's exactly how that went down. I want to add too real quick. I'll speak for me. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum.
Oh, right.
Like, there's a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about that I'm like not into, or at least not into in the way that other people are into it. And that's okay. I support you. If it doesn't hurt anybody, go for it, everybody.
I, on the other hand, I'm going to be super judgy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your normal role.
That's my, yep.
we buried the lead. In case you also don't know what it is, mukbang is people posting videos of themselves on social media eating incredibly vast quantities of food. Usually it's pizza or noodles or like other fast food or a buffet, an array of different things. And it is often, it's usually just one person. That's not always universally the case, but usually it's just one person. And usually they put the microphone real close with the gain turned way up so that you can hear like all of the sounds of the food and their face when they're eating it. Mm-hmm. There's some theories about like where this came from. There's the Wikipedia article talks about how Korean culture was based on healthy eating practices and had really strong, strict rules about food. And so it kind of became this like counterculture sort of a thing of like, no, I'm going to eat as much as I want to in whatever order I want to, using my hands if I want to, be as messy as I want to, like it pushing against this sort of cultural stuff.
Yeah. Whenever you try to create a rule, someone's going to try to do the opposite of it.
Yeah. And videotape themselves.
And then videotape it to make millions.
So have you ever heard of Afrika?
No, but I read a lot about it given this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just that's sort of where it started. It was like, it hasn't gone anywhere, but it's like Korean YouTube, basically, just a place that you can stream videos. And that's where a lot of mukbang and mukbangers and mukbang culture got rolling in as early as 2009. And I don't know. All right, I will go into this. I will. So in Korea, people who stream mukbang are called broadcast jockeys, and they unironically and with a straight face call themselves BJs.
No, I was going to make that joke, but it's less funny if they do it first.
People who are watching the stream are like allowed to interact. Usually, like there's a lot of live streaming of this stuff, like on Twitch and other platforms where like they will interact with the audience, or the audience will sort of direct, like, you know, eat the green stuff first or whatever. and different BJs do that to varying degrees, right? Like how much input they take. And then there's also like different levels of how much they talk. Like one of the most famous ones, I think you're going to talk about him later. One of the most famous ones, like, basically doesn't talk at all. It just gets right down to the eating.
Is that Zach Choi?
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yep. One study that I read was looking at the, I won't ruin your studies thing.
Michael Johnson.
Well, you got laid off. I didn't know. is that there's a very strong parasocial relationship that developed between mukbangers and the people who consume their content. Much like podcasting, we've talked about the parasocial relationship in other episodes of ours. But there's this like thing that happens in people's brains of being like really deeply, intimately tied to these people because they're consuming their content. And there's some psychology that suggests that both people who have eating disorders are drawn to this content, but also that people can mitigate their own issues with food by using the experience of these people that they're watching. Like, I don't have to eat 50 cheeseburgers. I can watch it done, and that's almost as good. And something mm-hmm. about the brain psychology of the viewer lets them do that.
Yeah.
Last, what does make this gayish is not only are there a bunch of LGBT mukbangers, but also it is for sexual gratification for a lot of people, and a lot of those people are queer. And we're going to talk more about that in a bit.
Okay. It's interesting because I didn't come across a lot of the sexual content, like the sexual nature of this. I came across like most of the stuff I learned about was based for non-sexual reasons. So it went from like, when you say like, oh yeah, people eating food on camera, it I'm like, oh, okay, so like this food porn kind of thing, and and that immediately jumped to a, this must be a sexual thing, and a lot of it isn't, which is one, some of it is, but a lot of it isn't as well.
Yep. People do it, do different things, and they do it for different reasons. But there's for sure a whole bunch of people who are kind of repressed a little bit. Like that seems to be a common theme, especially like in Korea, where like there are lots of really strict laws about pornography, where it becomes an outlet for their sexual expression. And so they can watch a video that seems fairly innocuous to us, like, oh, she's just eating a bunch of blue noodles or whatever. But there's quite a few people that are like titillated by that in a like, I'm going to jerk off now kind of way.
This is like bukkakis.
Okay, say more about that.
Because bukkakis became popular because of the porn laws. I forget which country's porn laws required it, but they weren't allowed, like, you're not allowed to show penetration. So instead they were like, oh, well, what if a bunch of us jerk off onto someone's face? That doesn't violate the rules. So then thus the bukkake was born.
Yeah. God bless Japan.
But the same idea of trying to avoid obscenity laws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the, like, you can't have small boobs because they're trying to crack down on, like, kiddie porn in, like, Australia, something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
This, like, so to your point earlier about, like, if there is a rule about something, somebody will break it. There's also, if there's a poorly written rule that has a workaround, somebody will find it.
Someone will find it. Yes. If there is a loophole, someone will stick their dick in it.
Yep.
Should I tell you some of the gaita?
Oh, please do.
Okay. The gaita is reasons why. Okay. Well, I'll just tell you. It is called The Psychology of Mukbang Watching, a scoping review of the academic and non-academic literature. So this is a review of the literature that exists about mukbang, and it's not very much. So that's why it's like, this has not been studied that much. So we wanted to like assess a comprehensive look at what's been written about it to kind of get the current state of it. Okay. This was published in 2020 in the International Journal of Mental Health and Addiction by Kagan Kierkegaard, Andrew Harris, Philippa Collado, and Mark D. Griffiths. So they reviewed peer-reviewed publications, academic theses, and print media to try to understand what it is that people are getting out of mukbang, what the psychology is behind it.
Yeah.
And people tend to watch for social reasons, for sexual reasons, for entertainment, for eating reasons, and as an escapist strategy. So I'm going to go into all of those.
Okay.
There are both beneficial and non-beneficial reasons to watch it. So, you know,
which of those categories does head tingles go into?
Ooh, the good reason. Oh, I think, wait. Just to have social, sexual, entertainment. Is that entertainment reasons?
Yeah.
But are you talking about ASMR?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's one of the beneficial things that people get out of this is ASMR. You were talking about like having the mic, like some people get like the good tingles that you get from, I've never understood ASMR. I don't get tingly feelings when I hear sounds. Do you?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I do sometimes. And the other thing though, is it never seems like if it's labeled ASMR, it's probably not going to work for me. And something that works and gives me the head tingles, like I might listen to exactly the same thing a couple of hours later and nothing. So I don't know. It doesn't seem to have a trend either, except it is usually like quieter sounds amplified. That is a thing that is true.
Interesting. Well, my ASMR is like your prostate. I think it's broken.
Well, do you want to trade?
You know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
But yes, the eating noises, the cooking sounds, The chewing noises, preparing foods, opening food, packaging, all of these create ASMR noises. That is why some people watch it.
Yep. Some of the videos that that boyfriend watches, I'm convinced that like that's his primary thing that he's looking for out of it is ASMR, because all of the videos are like you can hear every tiny little sound of that person's mouth and of the texture of the food. And if it's a cooking video, you can hear like the chop 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 of the knife against the cutting board, or like you can hear the stirring of the ingredients. Like it's very much, I think, an auditory experience. And so I know that that's a huge component of it.
Interesting. Again, like we both won't yuck anyone's yums on any of this, but that's something I just don't understand. That's it's just not for me.
I've thought of you a couple of times because you have and never again. Because you have sometimes talked about your horrific revulsion to pickles.
Yeah.
And the sound is something you always bring up as part of your hatred of it. So, do you have misophonia?
What is that?
That's intense feelings of hatred created by the sounds of people eating. Like if you hear somebody chewing and you're at a party, you like want to punch them in the face.
Not necessarily eating. I have that, like some noise, like noises distract me. Like I was in a work meeting, which I won't have to worry about for a while now, but I was in a work meeting where someone was like squeaking on their chair the entire time. And I wanted to, like, I couldn't focus on what anyone was talking about, 'cause I just was holding myself back from being like, stop it. Fucking stop it.
Yeah. I would kill them. They would have to die.
They would be murdered. Yep. Okay. But going on the trail of like, you know, people slurping on their food and making noises and everything while they're eating, one of the negative side effects of mukbang is that there is they called it a disruption of traditional eating manners and habits. So doing things like making noises while you're eating, or talking while your mouth is full, or snatching or scooping food, eating it carelessly, all things that they described as a disruption of traditional manners, that this could now cause people to pick up bad eating habits.
Okay.
What? Oh,
bad eating habits, perhaps, right? Yeah. Like if you're used to watching somebody eat a voluminous amount of food.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And I think probably a bad knock-on effect here. But also, if the fear is that like kids everywhere are going to start eating mashed potatoes with their hands or some shit, I don't think that's it. It reminds me of like the like Bugs Bunny is going to make your kids want to run off of a cliff, or like video games are going to make them want to turn into snipers and shoot the neighbor. Like people understand the difference between reality and fantasy. They understand the difference between consuming content and real life. And the argument that they're going to start copycatting just has never really like borne out as far as I can tell. So maybe it was the word traditional that triggered me, Kyle. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anytime
you were talking about traditional values, even when it's eating values, it's you got a lot to say. What else? Mukbang could be used to cope with eating alone. It was talking about how a lot of people these days are living alone and they may feel lonely when eating. And watching other people eat while you eat could be a way to feel like you have company, to feel like you're with someone, with people. And especially because, like you said, a lot of times they'll live stream or you'll be able to chat with people while you're doing it. So it's also a way to build a community.
There is some evidence to suggest that the pandemic caused a rapid rise in the amount of mukbang content that is being created and consumed. That lends itself to exactly what you're talking about, right? The feeling of isolation and loneliness, that this being a potential way to alleviate that.
I keep saying like I don't think we've even begun to comprehend all the ways that the pandemic has affected us in our society. And this is one of those real weird examples of how like, whom could have guessed that this kind of content would explode as a result of the pandemic?
Yeah. Yeah. That and people making bread and knitting, apparently.
In terms of loneliness and trying to construct a community, apparently one paper said that approximately 10% of viewers stayed logged in after the eating was done to continue to talk to other people in the community. So clearly there's more going on than just the eating. Like, that shows that there is, you know, a little community forming.
I mean, is that like our live stream after parties where people take their pants off and we have to be like, bye?
Yep. Yep. It's kind of like our Discord too. It's like the episode is over, but there's more to chat about.
But the fun continues.
But the fun never ends. Gayish.
God.
One paper talked about how this is a transgressive act, and I couldn't tell if it was saying it was a feminist or it was a reaction, or it was a feminist view of what was happening. But to see women eating messily, being noisy, demonstrating pleasure, and eating too much, those are all transgressive acts that may draw someone to it.
You don't
normally see women are not allowed to do some of those things in polite society. So it's kind of a counter, back to kind of the counterculture thing you were talking about as well. It's another way this is counterculture, is women who do this.
But that also seems really queer, right? Like, and in both senses of the word, both the like academic queerness as being just something that isn't mainstream, but also like queer as an LGBTQ, because it's like once we've gotten past the part of like having to conform or adhere to all of society's expectations, we sort of have permission to then color outside the lines even further if we want to. Like, I'd imagine that there are a lot of lesbians who would be into performing mukbang just because, like, well, I'm already a lesbian. I'm already on the fringe of society. I might as well also slurp my soup for 10,000 months, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 Once you break one social norm, it's much easier to break others.
Yeah.
Some people liked watching this because they were unable to access this kind of food. And it gave the example of patients in the hospital. Hmm. They don't have access to this kind of food. So, or it talked about like kids at home that whose parents were home, so they couldn't like go and eat a bunch of food, or, you know, for whatever reason, you don't have access to this food. So it's kind of that secondhand benefit that you're getting.
I don't know, man. Like, I get it. Like, it makes sense to me that somebody would want to draw those lines, and I just have never thought that a picture of a hamburger was as good as eating one.
Okay. Most of the papers like were talking about theories or they would watch videos and comment on what they evaluated within the videos themselves. But one actual study that, I shouldn't say that was rude to other studies, but one study that
one real study
all studies are real studies. One study talked about the vicarious eating kind of thing, and it said that when watching someone eat on camera, viewers feel like they can almost taste the food. So they did an experiment where viewers watched someone else eat a pizza, and as a result, they desired less pizza than before watching the video.
What?
They did another experiment where they demonstrated that viewers who watched someone eat M&Ms postponed eating M&Ms and chose to eat other foods after watching the video.
Okay.
And this is the curveball. The third experiment they did showed that this effect was present only among observers who watched someone that shared their political beliefs.
What? Like, wait, you're saying if I watch a Democrat eat 50 hot dogs, I'm going to go eat more hot dogs. But
less hot dogs. Yeah.
But if a Republican does it, it's not going to affect my hot dog consumption at all.
Exactly. Exactly. If you want to eat less food, watch a Democrat.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't understand why that would be, but I don't know.
I kind of love it.
It's also a weird thing that they chose to study. Like, why did they decide to study that? Like, whose idea was that?
Also, like, how much does can you do it the other direction? Can you be like, my coworker Carol, I wonder if she's a Democrat. And then watch her eat a whole bunch and see if it changes my desire to eat that thing.
Can I predict their political affiliation by whether I want more food?
Yep.
I'm sure it works like that.
I'm sure. Take it to the bank.
Yep. Non-beneficial reasons. Some viewers were in there just to insult the mukbangers.
Hmm.
Which that's a shitty thing. I don't understand why you would waste your time like logging into a live stream and watching someone just to insult them.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
I mean, this is the internet. This is the problem with the internet that I'm describing.
Trolling. But there's like, we've been doing this enough for long enough now that we just know that this some part of human nature just can't help but want to yuck other people's yum. So go find some yum and yuck on it. Right.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Ooh. Some said that people were susceptible to consuming more than they normally would after seeing someone eat, a large amount. So it said the opposite, like that study actually like, you know, studied the effects on people and measured it. But this one just theorized that people may want to eat more after it. So I wonder if it can affect people differently. I wonder if some people would eat less because the vicarious thing, and some people would eat more because it, I don't know, monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
Those are just some of the reasons that it's good and bad and why people watch this.
Okay.
Do you feel like you understand it a little better now?
A little bit. I guess I want to talk about the sexy part now.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about the sexy part.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm bringing sexy snacks.
Oh, God. Like chili cheese fries and sundaes and stuff. Okay. So there are a few ideas about why this is sexy to people.
Okay. I'm very eager to learn those.
One of them is just that doing anything that's sufficiently taboo is sexy to some people.
Hmm.
And so there is a all of those like socially conservative things that you were just talking about like food rules and breaking those. What was the word that you used? Son of a bitch. It was so good. Subversive. That is just automatically sexy no matter what it is. Then there's the voyeuristic.
I'm still on that. I have not thought about that anything that's taboo can be turned into something sexual.
Yeah. Just the act of doing it's like a, well, if you'll break that taboo rule, what else might you break kind of a thing.
Mm.
And just thumbing your nose at society like means that you're dangerous and bad, and that's sexy.
So like, is there some kind of sexual interpretation of jaywalking? Like, does literally every breaking of a taboo?
I guess it can be.
I guess I'd be into a guy who jaywalked.
How big are his arms?
Yeah.
But then there's also a whole series of food fetishes or food related fetishes, and they all have names, and I want to talk about them.
Okay.
But that mukbang videos can be close enough to these things that they then get sexualized by extension. So there's adipophilia, which is fat fetishism. That's a sexual attraction to overweight or obese people. That's very much a thing. And that's not that far of a stretch to say, like, if you're sexually into fat people and eating is how you get there, that process would also be sexually gratifying to you.
Okay. Okay. I could see that.
There's anthropophagy, which is sexual gratification by eating human flesh.
No, stop. I don't want it.
Or seeing people eat human flesh.
I don't want that.
I don't want that either.
Okay, I will yuck people's yums there. This is where I yuck your yum.
Well, there's emetophilia, which that's you're into vomit. You're into puke.
Okay, I'm chill about I support people. I support people.
And then there's feederism, right? Like there are people who are into being the gainer and being the feeder, and that is very much a sexual dynamic for some people. And this is the virtual version of that. Like you add on a layer of parasocial relationship, and I could have the fantasy that I'm the one that gave you all of this food, that I'm making you eat all of this food, and there's a sexual gratification that comes from getting to make you all plump.
And especially if it's like a live stream and you're like, oh, eat the Butterfinger next. Like maybe you could fulfill some of that feeder fantasy.
Yep. Absolutely. There's also vorophilia or vor. We've talked about that off and on. But like that's sexual gratification by the fantasy of a person or creature eating or being eaten by another. Usually swallowed whole in one piece. There's a whole branch of erotic fiction that is called vor. And the idea is like, if I want to be eaten by somebody watching them eat, I can pretend I'm that food and find it sexually gratifying.
Whoa. Okay. I've heard of vor before.
Yeah.
But pretending I'm the food, mm-hmm. that I hadn't taken that logical leap to get.
And here we are. Here we are.
Okay. Okay. I want to be the spaghetti strand betwixt your lips.
Yep.
Hmm.
And then there is a whole series of fetishes that are called the wet and messy fetishes. And that is likely something that mukbang videos can trigger for a person. And now some videos are more explicit about this, right? Like there it's not food porn of like Instagram pictures of your pretty meal that you're having, but food porn of like porn that involves food.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the shape of the food that matters. So like they'll eat sausages or bananas and really sort of sexually explicit kind of way.
Okay. But
it's not that far to go from that to even in just an eating it kind of way, any sort of shape to the food that is reminiscent of genitalia, it can be sexually gratifying for those people. There's this video on a TikTok account called Putinu, P-U-T-I-N-U-U. And that TikTok account is popular for creating a whole bunch of videos that are food sex stuff, sort of, or food. It's so interesting to me. There's one where there's this Barbie who is like submerged in a vat of different colors of icing and then put on top of a multi-tiered cake. And then this person is talking about it, and they really, this is an article that I found on Mashable. They quote, repeatedly emphasize words like ooze, push, spread, and lift, and builds up a tension to the point when he finally releases the messy liquids onto the cake. And apparently that's just like a jizz fest for some people.
Okay. Here's the thing about that.
Great.
Okay. It's just, if that's your fetish, it's so specific. It's such a specific confluence of things that you would need. That seems rough if that's what you're into. Cause then it's like, how many videos of a Barbie dipped in icing put on a cake where you're emphasizing the word lift and then it all oozes out? How many of those exist on the internet? How many could you find of those?
That's true. And you're right. Yes. And just because that's somebody's fetish doesn't mean that's the only thing they're into. They might also be into G.I. Joes being stuck in a muffin. Like, you know,
that's like, true. I mean, I think I'm into G.I. Joes being stuck in a muffin if we're really. Yeah.
There's another video where a woman dressed in hot pink shorts attempts to remove her inner thigh tattoo by smashing a banana all over it. Like that doesn't make any sense. But like, she's talking about like, I'm going to remove this tattoo, and like rubs a banana all over. And like her hand gestures and the fact that it's this like phallic fruit that she's using is part of it. Anyway, all of that's called sploshing, which I know that fucking Dan was talking to us once about, like he was trying to advocate for sploshing being an episode that we do. And maybe we'll have to do an episode about it. But it includes things like people getting off to having cake smashed in their face or other people's faces, or having anything that's wet or warm or drippy sort of put on their body, honey, mud or slime or gunge as well. And one of the theories about why this is interesting. They blame Nickelodeon.
Okay. I get it. I get it. Yeah.
You get it because?
Yeah. Because they always drop the ooze on people.
They always drop the ooze on people. That there, it's there's a lot of sploshing fetishes that are specific to people of a certain age, late Gen X, early millennial, and forward. And that one of the theories is Nickelodeon using all of that green ass goo all over, especially like celebrities, some of whom were hot and or sexualized when they got gooed.
Oh.
There's this person who does splashing videos named Creamy. And she says that, quote, my earliest memory of seeing soft splashing comes from watching Bozo the Clown and the Nickelodeon's comedy You Can't Do That on Television. She believes that splashing is her sexuality and not just a fetish.
Whoa.
She says in her early 30s, she had a series of dreams that climaxed with someone throwing pie on her or her falling into a giant cake. And at that point, she would wake up orgasming in bed and then would quickly become self-conscious and ashamed and disgusted with herself. Aww. Quote, I tried really hard to stop these fantasies. On my 33rd birthday, my ex-husband gifted me a cake that was covered in rich cream. I finally caved in. I took a big slice to my room, laid a towel on my bed, sat in front of the mirror, and began masturbating. She says this tearing up in the video. Before I knew it, I was smashing the cake all over my face and my body, and that was the best orgasm I ever had.
Tearing up.
So... then there's this kink educator named Aoife Murray. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Who says that splashing is a fetish that a lot of people have and that a lot of people are ashamed of that or repress that. Quote, we're always told to eat properly and have impeccable table manners. Splashing, it could be a fun sexual way to rebel against society by being messy. But if they can't quite get over that shame of like, don't make a mess, etc., mukbang might be one way that they can still get that itch sort of scratched, or like it's adjacent to that. And a lot of them really are messy just because they're messy foods, right? Like there's cheese and sauce and like stuff dripping, and like some of them are like people sucking the butter out of like the shrimp that they're eating. All of that ties together somehow for this like zone of fetishes. I think this is interesting because we've said something like it several times. This same kink educator says, quote, if you find yourself judging wham play, that's wet and messy play, stop and consider what you're feeling. Do you feel shame? Do you feel excitement? Oftentimes judgment is tied to repression. Do you wish you could let loose or lose control over something that's holding you back? People are allowed to not be into fetishes, but should still be able to appreciate why someone else might be.
That's like we talk about when someone's homophobic or railing against gays, it might be because they're secretly gay. So if you have a really strong negative reaction to wet and messy stuff or splashing or whatever,
yep,
maybe it's because you want it.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. In which case you should masturbate in front of a cake, I guess.
Anyway, that's some of the theories about why this is sexually gratifying or titillating to people.
Interesting.
Yeah. People are fascinating, Kyle.
People are fascinating creatures. No two the same. Each one more different than the last.
Yeah. You're going to talk about some mukbangers?
Yeah. What are we going to do for Patreon?
Well, unless you want, one idea for Patreon could be, I want to talk to you about this online cat fight between three mukbangers.
Oh, okay.
Like they really started like going after each other. It was funny.
I wonder if it'll be any of the ones that I talk about. Okay, let's do that.
I'm sure it will be.
Okay. Because I found this 2020 article on Listverse by Mary Fetzer, and it was fact checked by Jamie Fratter. So this is legit information.
Yeah, it has a fact checker. That means it's facts.
That means it's facts. Yep. If only newspapers had fact checkers, then they wouldn't be fake news. Okay. So people, you were going to talk about some of the drama around it, some of the fights, and apparently people are into mukbang not just for the actual act of eating food, but also the parasocial reasons to learn about the people and the drama that goes into this entire scene. Apparently cancel culture, according to this article, is a big part of mukbang. Like a lot of people, like someone will do something, they'll get canceled, there'll be an apology video, these people are supposed to collaborate and something happened or whatever. Anyway, so the drama is a big part of this. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about some of them, not go into any of the drama, because I'll leave that for you. First one is Trisha Paytas. She has been on YouTube since 2007. She has 5 million subscribers.
Wild.
She has done things like marry a cardboard cutout of Brad Pitt.
Same girl.
I know, right? Whom among us, really? She has claimed she is transgender and more specifically a gay man with penis envy, which, okay, we got some terms a little, you know.
All right.
We got to tighten up the lingo, I think.
Yeah.
Because these are different concepts. And she identifies as a chicken nugget.
Oh, okay.
And
maybe like in an Indivore kind of way. Like
eat me. Yeah.
Somebody maybe. Dip me in sweet and sour sauce and eat me.
Yum. I don't like sweet and sour sauce. I just go for ranch.
Yeah. It's the most Texan thing about you, maybe.
Thank you. Her video about being a chicken nugget has been viewed 1.1 million times.
Mm-hmm.
She has an estimated net worth of $8 million.
Sure.
She has said, quote, "I never cared about being rich or anything. Still don't. I just have this constant need for attention. Maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe not. But it's how I thrive." There is another mukbanger named Nikado Avocado.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know that bitch.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, not, I don't actually know that
you
bitch,
don't know, but he has been posting since 2014. He started as a vegan.
Yep.
And he's gay. And I know that because he's on a Wikipedia list of American gay men.
Yep.
How do I get on that list? I'm an American gay man.
You want me to try to add you right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I
probably won't meet the notability requirements, just like our Wikipedia page.
Well, we can try to fix that too.
We can sure try. And
let's add it to our fandom page.
Oh,
known gay men.
Known gay man Kyle gets.
Me and you and Derek.
<That's> yeah. <it. laughs> Yeah. If anyone wants to add me there. And he basically eats food and has this drama. Like he'll post a video of him like sobbing, crying, or he'll throw a temper tantrum. The one I watched
I watched about 4 minutes of one as well. Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. That's about as much. I like skipped forward through this one by Nikado Avocado called "My Last Seafood Boil Ever Mukbang Emotional."
Yeah. We also know he's gay because he has a husband. His husband's name is Orlin and appears in some of the videos with him.
The one that I watched, he was on the phone and they were talking about getting a divorce and he was sobbing. And then he like was like sobbing, talking about food. He was like, and now here's the crawfish boil that I'm going to eat.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a lot. He has said, quote, I would just like always want attention. I wanted the spotlight. Mm-hmm. We talked about why people are into watching this, but why people do it. It seems at least for a couple of the people, they have said specifically they like attention. So this is one of the things I think that they get out of it.
Yep. And the money's nice too, apparently.
The money must be nice. Speaking of money, Stephanie Sue is a mukbanger that lives in a $2.29 million mansion in the San Fernando Valley.
Yep.
Sure. She's one of the newer ones, has only been mukbanging for 2 years and has 1.3 million subscribers.
Great. Good work.
Yeah. There is Hungry Fat Chick who has a trademark lip smacking and moaning.
Sure. Yeah. Get it, girl.
Yeah. Why not? She has said, quote, this is an eating channel, not a weight loss channel. Get it straight. If you're not here to see a hungry fat chick eat food, then move along. This isn't the channel for you. Which kudos to you for knowing what you're about.
Yeah. Yeah. Truth in advertising, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just picturing the people going in there to like, you know, complain about her eating food or that she says she needs to lose weight or whatever. And it's like, this is I named myself Hungry Fat Chick, bitch. Like, what do you, get out of here. There is
Amber. It's not like this is an accident. Like,
yeah,
this is my goal.
Precisely what I described to you. Yeah. Amberlynn Reed is a, dates girls, at least. I don't know if she's lesbian, bi, pan, whatever, but at least we know that she dates girls. And apparently she carefully counts the calories and generally eats healthy foods on her videos, which I did not realize that was one of the things you could do.
Like, I'm going to eat 8 pounds of celery, everybody. Let's.
I don't know. I did not watch any of her videos. Let's see. There is one named Chantal Foodie Beauty, that's in quotes, Foodie Beauty Marie, most controversial video, she showed photos and video footage of the 1997 Heaven's Gate mass suicide while eating cheese.
Great. Okay.
The video has since been taken down.
Well, that's okay. Great.
I think it was just one of those things people were like, this is in poor taste. Maybe, and I'm not talking about goat cheese.
Maybe she's part humpback whale.
Like some Ted. Let's see. There is Banz, B-A-N-Z-Z, who can eat 100 McDonald's chicken nuggets in one sitting, reportedly worth millions. He used his online platform to promote his own brand of weight loss food products and was fined for false advertising.
Okay.
His defense team claimed that their client did not intend to scam viewers. His content was simply the result of inexperience, which is the he's not breaking the law, he's just dumb defense.
Yeah. Boy, apparently you can become president that way.
Right. but this one is unique in that he is ripped. He is jacked. He's like,
who is this one?
do a Google image search. B-A-N-Z-Z, Banz. He's got a six pack. He's yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Great.
Which again, like there are all these varieties of mukbangers that I did not know you could be a mukbanger and be ripped. He apparently spends up to 5 hours on aerobics and 2 hours on weightlifting, among other exercises.
Okay. And again, this is maybe way trigger warning. I don't know. There are a few mukbangers who have been accused of just being straight up bulimic. But the only way that they can do that video and have that career and maintain whatever level of fitness that they are at is because at least some of the time they must be throwing it back up.
That would make sense that would be an accusation.
Yeah.
I would think after eating all that food, it might feel good to throw up.
Oh, well, okay. <That's>...
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you're so like full and stuffed, and it's like after eating so much food, it's uncomfortable. Okay.
Well, okay. let's talk about this sometime, Kyle.
Do I need to stop talking about this? Is this potentially okay? Anywho, let's see. There's Veronica Wang. I just didn't find anything interesting about her. There's Soyoung, who has eaten live animals.
Oh, Veronica Wang is bisexual. She's on my list.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Way to go. Sorry. I skipped right over the bisexual one. I bi erasured. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, didn't mean fine. To do that. I didn't. It did not outline the sexuality of each of these. Soyoung has used a salt shaker to send eels into seizures before she eats them alive.
Wow. Okay.
She has eaten a live octopus on camera.
Mm.
And it wasn't live, of course, but she ate a whole pig's head once.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's like, see, there's different flavors of this, Kyle. They're like, they've gotten their lane.
Yeah. Yeah. There are like little differences between all the, like, you think when I learned about this, I just thought it'd be one thing, like, oh, you eat a shit ton of food, but everyone has their own kind of thing. Speaking of which, we mentioned Zach Choi earlier. He does not talk during his videos. It's all about ASMR. He has 7 million followers, an estimated net worth of $11 million. Yep. He makes an estimated $1 million a month from his videos.
Yep. 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 Great.
So that's a little bit about some of the popular mukbangers.
He's also clearly very fit and one of the people that's been accused of bulimia.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I think some of the things, like, you can be worth a ton of money in doing and do this. There are lots of different varieties. Not everyone is the same kind of mukbang. And some people are just in it for attention. And there are queer ones as well. Those are all the things that I learned by reviewing this list.
Yep. Yep. Lots of queer ones. And I think that's really, it's interesting.
Yeah. I guess a minimum of 3 out of this list of 10 popular ones. So that's a overrepresentation of queer people just by virtue of this list.
Yep. Yep. How do you feel about it all? You've watched a little bit of it apparently now.
I've skipped forward through this. I couldn't watch a full 30-minute video of this.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot to try to sit and deal with this guy crying and eating this seafood buffet or whatever. I don't know, man. I definitely don't get the sexual part. That's for sure. I support you in whatever fetish you have, and I don't understand it. And I could see maybe some of the, like, vicariously living through someone kind of thing. I don't know, but yeah, I go back and forth between that study that said you could, like, it makes you not want to eat, and then the theory that it could make you want to eat more. And I don't know what effect this would have on me. This probably would not. It might not have a good effect on me to watch these videos. It might encourage me to mirror what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
I already have a problem with kind of binge eating that can be difficult to deal with sometimes. So I don't know that watching people do it is the best thing. It's like dipping your toe in a potentially unhealthy water.
Yep. Yep. And I think that's good insight too, right? Like you can maybe steer clear.
Yeah. And that's just for my, like, who knows how it affects other people, but like just knowing that about myself, I think is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I knew more of the drama or the personalities behind it, that seems to be a big part that I'm missing out on. So like maybe that would, if it was like Real Housewives kind of drama that I'm missing, like maybe I'd be more into it, but I don't know. How about you?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't quite get it either. And partially, so I do sometimes have misophonia. It's not all the time, but like if I'm hangry, the sound of somebody chewing will make me want to punch them in the face. And like irrational anger. And I'm good at dealing with it, but it's there and it's weird. And so much of it is about the sounds that the people are making while they're doing it. But what's funny is it doesn't tend to trigger my misophonia at all, because it's not sounds that real people make in real life. Like, huh. You have to get that mic real close and turn it way up to hear. Like, you just, that's not how real hearing works. That's not how real life sounds are. It's like a surreal auditory landscape that then doesn't trigger my hatred of people chewing. Some of it I find a little messy. I do not like mess. Like, I don't like to eat chicken wings because I don't like to touch the stickiness, and I don't like having to work for my food either. Like, although I do like nachos and they're kind of messy, but I immediately am like wiping the stuff off of my hands. I just like, I don't want that. And a lot of these videos are like, they're in it. Like, it's on their face and on their clothes, and it's like, there's dripping and like that I don't like that.
Which is funny, because that's like part of it for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. But I mean, go for it. Clearly it's a thing. Like, these people are millionaires, some of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's enough humans are into it as a thing, for whatever reason they're into it, that it's clearly a phenomenon. So
yeah.
Great. More power to you.
Yeah. And is it gay?
I think it's queer.
Okay.
In both senses of the word, like I said earlier in the episode. Yeah. I didn't realize how LGBTQ queer it was until we started looking into this. What do you think?
I like your description earlier of the queer in two ways. And when we talk about people breaking one taboo or one social norm, so that makes it easier to break others, I think of that in terms of, well, if I break a social norm in terms of like being gay, then I might as well also, I don't know, think unconventionally about politics, or, you know, I think of, yeah. I don't think about people breaking norms in terms of like enjoying overeating and food. This is like not one of the ways I've constructed that, the next step in that logic chain that we've built. So this is a new way for me to kind of understand and interpret that thing that we've described in other scenarios. So
yeah.
I think it is queer in that way, and in a different way than other things that we've talked about.
Yeah. So did we do it?
I don't know, man. I wonder if we have any mukbang viewers in our listenership.
Yeah, let us know. Send us a picture.
Let us know if we got stuff right or if we covered it. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to make a giant bowl of soup and stick my face in it. Do you want to take a break?
Let's take a break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
We're back. We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
But first, local gay bar review. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, this time I'm going to talk to you about, I think, the gay bar with the best name that I have ever encountered.
Ooh, what is it?
In Buenos Aires, Argentina, I went out to a bar with coworkers, and the name of the bar is Peyoteo, which is, if you take it apart into syllables, P-U-T-O is how you say P-U-T-O in Spanish, and that spells puto.
Oh.
It's hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, Peyoteo in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Great dancing. I met a drag queen there. We posted that to social media already. She was fun. I wish I remembered her name off the top of my head. I don't. Shit. Anyway, just, I had a lovely time. It was wonderful. I did not do well with the boys because they all speak Spanish, but but despite that, I'm giving them 4 dildos.
Wow, good rating. Way to go.
Yeah, good job.
Contact,
sure. Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on Instagram at Gayish Podcast. You can find all the other ways to join in our Discord and Facebook group at gayishpodcast.com/contact.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, especially if it's your gayest or straightest, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109. Quick programming note, we just days from now are going to be judging the Mr. and Miss Gay Washington United States at Large pageant.
Yeah, what a weird gig that we got.
Yeah, so we did an episode about pageants a few seasons ago. We had my friend Sable on, and she talked extensively about her experiences in the pageant world. She's the current reigning Miss Gay United States at Large, and asked us if we would help them kick off. Washington State has never had one before. If we would judge the first one, and so we're going to do it.
Yeah. I'm excited. Are you?
I'm terrified.
Because we don't know what we're doing.
I don't know what the fuck we're doing. Like, there's a sheet that we have to fill out and has like points that we're responsible for. And
yeah,
I don't know if I'm cunty enough to do this. Like,
you definitely think you're not.
I'm the nicest person I know. And actually, boyfriend said that he was helping me read the packet, and he's like, "You're gonna be too nice."
Oh, everyone gets 100.
Everyone, yes, exactly. Is it gayest or straightest time?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm happy to go first.
Okay.
So the gayest thing about me this week is shopping for a gym, and like, gay. It's gay church, right? That's what we do.
Yeah.
And just looking at like which one has amenities and which one has the prettiest boys and which one is going to cost the most, and you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then the. The straightest thing about me this week, yesterday, boyfriend and I were at a gym because we were going to like, we're going to try to sign up and go to one together and motivate each other to get the fuck out of bed in the morning and go work out before we have to go to work. And the girl, he was talking to the manager person. They're like outlining like, here's the contract and here's how it goes. And she said, if you want to think about it and get back to me, you can talk it over with your, she gestured at me and she goes, dad?
Oh no.
Cousin? I don't, like, she was clearly, she was all of like 19 years old. She didn't know what the fuck was going on, but like, that's, I was mistaken for someone's dad.
Oh no. That's not great, Mike.
Well, you know, it's bound to happen someday.
I guess so. Don't make assumptions like that, folks. That's totally on her.
Yeah.
My straightest is my dad came to hang out with me this weekend, and so we did. And anytime I'm around family, I definitely notice myself straighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's my straightest.
You butched it up.
Butched it up. It's not on purpose. It's just, I don't know. I think my voice sounds a little different, and I don't know. Yeah. I just think it happens naturally.
Yep.
Nick, so many years of conditioning.
I get it. Yeah.
And then the gayest is that he was at my place and I realized I forgot to hide my cum mug. So there's just a mug sitting out that said cum on it.
Oh.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh, well, I mean,
it is my place and he has to deal with whatever's in my place.
Exactly. And it's not like he found a pile of cum. Like
that's that true. That's true. I hid all my piles of cum.
No gayest or straightest this week from a listener. Please send in yours. We would love to play it.
Yeah, leave us a voicemail, please.
I guess that's it. Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you to all of the mukbangers and whatever you get out of watching them if you are a watcher.
Yeah. We support you, clearly. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank the following Super Gap Bridgers. Thank you to Kaylee Adams, Kit Oliver, Pip, Andrew Bugby, William Bryant, John Crawley, Stephen Porch, Yost Ilsel, Harry Shaw, Jonathan Montanez, Wadu, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Michael Covington, Just Jamie, Thomas B., Dusty Sands, A.E. Coleman, Chris Kachatorians, and Jerome York. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your money. That's it from the Chris Kachatorian Studios. This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
370 something times in a row and fuck it up.
You did great, Mike. Thanks.
I am frozen.
When your heart's not open?
When my heart's not open.